September, Year of God 890. 1. Lizard Herd Square, City of Manchir, Princedom of Coruscant.
So I don't know about you people, but I've had more than enough of this dragon shit!
Patrick Henry shouted from his improvised speaker's perch on the municipal fire brigade cistern.
Bastards!
A voice came back out of the small crowd gathered outside the tavern. It was early in the morning, on a Wednesday, and like every other tavern on the face of Safehold, all the taverns of the city of Manchir were closed and would stay that way until after morning mass. The sun was barely up, the narrow streets were still caverns of shadow, but the clouds overhead already promised rain by afternoon, and the humidity was high. As Henry noted, were tempers. It wasn't a huge crowd. In fact, it was considerably smaller than the one he'd hoped for, and probably at least half the men in it were there more out of curiosity than commitment. But the ones who were committed...
Fucking murderers!
Someone else snarled back. Henry nodded vigorously, hard enough to make sure everyone in his angry audience could recognize the gesture. He was a silversmith by trade, not an actor or an orator, and certainly not a priest. But over the last few 5 days, he'd had the opportunity to profit by the experience and advice of quite a few men who were trained priests. He'd learned how voice projection and spontaneous body language could support and emphasize a message, especially when that message was backed by genuine, burning outrage.
Yes, he shouted back to the last speaker. Damned right, they're murderers, unless you want to believe that lying bastard Caleb.
He flung up his hands in eloquent contempt.
Of course he didn't do it. Why, what possible motive could he have had to order Prince Hector's murder?
A fresh chorus of outrage, this time formed of pure anger rather than anything as artificial as words, answered him. And he smiled savagely.
Goddamned butchers!
Yet another voice shouted.
Priest killers! Heretics! Remember Farade!
Yes,
he nodded his head again, just as vigorously as before.
They can say what they want, this new archbishop of ours and his bishops, but I'm not so sure you aren't right about Caleb's precious Church of Caris. Maybe there are some priests who've abused their offices. No one wants to believe that. I don't want to, do you? But remember what Archbishop Willem said in his report about the Farade massacre. There's no doubt Caleb lied about how terrible the original attack was, and it's for damn sure he and all his other bootlickers have been lying about how restrained their response to it was. But even so, Mother Church herself acknowledged that the priests who were hanged impiously with no proper church trial by Archbishop Michael's own brother, mind you, were guilty of wrongdoing. Mother Church said that, and the Grand Vicar imposed a personal penance on the Grand Inquisitor himself for letting it happen. Does that sound to you like Mother Church can't be trusted? Like we can't rely on her to deal with abuses and corruption? Like the only answer is to defy God's own church? Cast down the vicarate Langhorne himself ordained?
There was another snarl of fury, yet this one, Henry noted, was less fiery than the one before. He was a bit disappointed by that, but not really surprised. Coruscantians, by and large, had never felt directly threatened by the policies of the Church of God Awaiting and the Knights of the Temple Lands. Certainly not the way Corisians had felt when they discovered their entire kingdom had been condemned to fire and the sword by that same church. Or at least by the men who controlled it. Still, it would have been inaccurate and foolish to pretend there weren't plenty of Coruscantians who had their own reservations about the church's current rulership. Manchir was a long way from the temple or the city of Zion, after all, and Coruscantians, as a whole, were undoubtedly more independent-minded in matters of religion than the Inquisition or the Vicarate at large would truly have approved. For that matter, plenty of Coruscantians had had sons or brothers or fathers killed in the Battle of Darkos Sound, and it was common knowledge that Darkos Sound had been the disastrous consequence of a war which had seen Coruscant and its allies conscripted to act as the Church's proxies. Among those for whom religious fervor and orthodoxy were major motivators, they burned with a blinding, white-hot passion that surpassed all others. The majority of Coruscantians, however, were far less passionate about those particular concerns. Their opposition to the Church of Karis stemmed far more from the fact that it was the Church of Karis, linked in their own minds with the House of Armagh's conquest of their princedom, than from any outraged sense of orthodoxy. For that matter, Coruscant undoubtedly harbored its own share of the reform-minded, and they might well find themselves actively attracted to the breakaway church. "Best not to dwell too heavily on the heresy, Patrick," Henry told himself. "Leave the ones already on fire over that to burn for themselves. Father Adrian's right about that. They'll be hot enough without you. Spend your sparks on other tinder."
"I've no doubt God and Langhorn and the Archangel Schuler will deal with that in time," he said out loud. "That's God's business and Mother Church's, and I'll leave it to them. But what happens outside the church, what happens in Coruscant or here on the streets of Manchir, that's man's business, our business. A man's got to know what it is he stands for, and when he knows, he has to truly stand, not just wave his hands about and wish things were different."
The last word came out in a semi-falsetto sneer, and he felt the fresh anger frothing up.
"Hector!"
a wiry man with a badly scarred left cheek shouted. Henry couldn't see him, but he recognized the voice easily enough. He should have, after all. Ron Amail had been one of his senior apprentices before the Carisian invasion ruined Henry's once thriving business, along with so many other of the besieged capital's enterprises. And Henry had been there when a cracked mold and a splash of molten silver produced the scar on Amail's cheek.
"Hector!"
Amail repeated now.
"Hector!"
"Hector! Hector!"
Other voices took up the shout, and this time Henry's smile could have been a slash lizard's.
"Well," he shouted then, "there's a hell of a lot more of us than there are of them, when all's said. And I don't know about you, but I'm not ready, yet, to assume that all of our knights and great men and members of Parliament are ready to suck up to Caleb like this so-called Regency Council. Maybe all they really need is a little indication that some of the rest of us aren't ready to do that either."